The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Daily Racing Podcast provided to you by William Hill. My name is Sam Norris and I'm joined on Friday's edition of the podcast by John Budden. How are you today, John?
I'm pretty well, Sam. I could do with a winning nap because that seems to be a complete famine, but otherwise I'm very happy.
Yeah, it's been very hotly contested, the naps table at the moment. So unfortunately, you're not at the sharp end just at the moment.
I'm very much at the other end.
But hopefully we're going to pick something out for Friday. Before we get to the three races on Friday, obviously Royal Ascot's not too long away, and you've been up and down the country and you've picked out a couple of possibles, haven't you, John?
Yes, I have. I was at Musselburgh and Carlisle watching the action on the racecourse recently, and I saw a couple of two-year-olds, Sam, who I'm absolutely sure will go really well at the Royal meeting, and they need to go down in everybody's notebook. At Musselburgh, to begin with, there was quite a good two-year-old race, which was the second race on the card last Friday evening. One or two fancied horses. Dominic Cork was quite well fancied from Kevin Ryan. Lanai was well fancied from David Baronsgaard, having finished third first time out in a decent race at Nottingham. But there was a whisper on the course for Richard Fahey's newcomer, Elusive Epona. And that filly won, and she overcame all sorts of trouble to win. Lanai looked like winning coming into the final furlong, but then veered right-handed across the course and taking Elusive Epona with him. Elusive Epona had to be pulled back, switched, and still got up to win. It was a fairly impressive performer by a newcomer who carries the colours of the Midland Park Racing, who had, of course, been doing so tremendously well during the season. And after of the race, Gordon Brown, who was doing the race day presentation, interviewed Tony Hamilton and asked him about Elusive Epona. And Tony was pretty complimentary. He doesn't talk very much, Tony Hamilton, but he did actually clearly have quite a regard for the filly, and so everyone was happy. Good first time out win for Richard Fahey's Elusive Epona. It wasn't until we reached Carlisle on Monday, Sam, that Gordon said to me, you know, I had a brief word with Tony Hamilton earlier today, and he said to me that after Elusive Epona had won on Friday at Musselburgh, he hadn't dared say it, but he'd got permission now, and he had to say that Elusive Epona was the best two-year-old filly that Richard Fahey had certainly raced this year, and probably the best filly in the yard. So that is Elusive Epona, and she could easily go for, well, either the Queen Mary or the Windsor Castle at Royal Ascot. So that was one bit. But my goodness me, on Monday at Carlisle, Sam, we saw a horse called Likely, a filly who I think has to be backed at Royal Ascot. Cost 340,000 guineas, bought by Qatar Racing on the advice of David Barron after the horse had been showing tremendous pace at the Breeze Up sales. Now, there was an enormous whisper for Likely in the morning, and she was backed right into favouritism. But funnily enough, on the course itself, she just drifted a bit. She started at 11-8. Mainly due to the fact that Tim Easterby had a runner called Matt Moo, who had run well a couple of times before, finishing twice at Doncaster and Beverley. However, once the race began, there was only one horse in it. Likely had looked very athletic and neat in the paddock, and she slipstreamed the leaders to halfway. Matt Moo was in front with two furlongs to go, and then Harry Bentley, who was riding, I think, a rare runner at Carlisle, just shook the reins a bit, and Likely simply shot clear. I'd never seen a two-year-old win with such speed and authority as Likely did at Carlisle on Monday. And afterwards, you could see that David Barham was tremendously impressed. He was really laughing and, you know, pleased. And he said, you know, Royal Ascot had always been the target for this horse as soon as she'd arrived. She's a filly by Exceed and Excel, well bred on the dam side too from the States. And the way, the style she won, the gear she showed, plus the fact that, as David said, she's got very, very good temperament at home as well. And he said, you know, she is really very much the mustard. And she's going to go to Royal Ascot, almost certainly for the Queen Mary. But Qatar Racing have lots of other very decent fillies, so just conceivably she'll go for the Albany. But those two, particularly Likely, Sam, are really top-class two-year-old fillies.
Sounds good to me. Then a couple of good-looking two-year-olds then for John ahead of Royal Ascot, which we will, of course, preview again on the podcast closer to the time. But for the time being, it's Friday's racing that's on the agenda. We've picked out three races on Friday to go through, the first of which is the 350 from Newcastle. This is a 2-mile, 19-yard contest, class 4 handicap. And who did you like in this one, John?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was very difficult finding winners, actually, on Friday afternoon, because there's a lot of racing and it's fairly modest. But I like this race because it's very competitive. We go down from the top, we've got John Quinn's Moidor, who's a decent horse but has not yet won this season, probably wanting slightly better ground, and it could still be a bit too soft for that one. So I just put a line through Moidor. And then we have a horse who's been running a lot up from Newcastle called Man of Plenty. But again, I reckon that fast ground is what's really required for Man of Plenty. So I just penciled through him. We came down to Mr. Snoozy next. Now, Mr. Snoozy has been knocking at the door all summer. And unlike the first two I mentioned, is very happy on ground with Give. He's trained by Mark Walford, the son of Tim Walford, the younger son, took over the license earlier this season, had a quiet start, but my goodness me, over the past month or so, has absolutely been throwing in the winners, Sam, under both codes. And Mr. Snoozy was pretty well fancied at York last time out, ran well, but eventually finished fourth to Villa Royale. I think that with Jason Hart on board, claiming still £3, very good value for it, Mr. Snoozy has to go close. Just nipping on, we've got Cape Tribulation, favourite horse of mine. Unfortunately, was in the race that Mr. Snoozy ran at York, and although probably needing it, finished such a long way behind Mr. Snoozy that it's a bit hard to fancy Cape Tribulation to win this. Categorical's in the race, running well, but doesn't win very often. And then the one at the bottom, I think, is a danger to all. Mark Johnston's horse, Sir Frank Morgan, with Joe Fanning up, has been running well, again knocking at the door. Good second at Nottingham last time out. Behind the Nottingham specialist Halstad, has to go well at the weights. But I thought Mr. Snoozy had a very decent chance to finally get the nose in front.
Good pick there then from John in the 350, the first of our races that we are looking at from Friday. The next one that we've picked up to preview is the 7:30 race from Haydock. 6 furlongs the trip here, class 4. 10 runners down to go to post in this handicap. What's she thinking on this one, John?
Well, this is a tricky race as well, and people say to me, why on earth do you nap in 5 or 6 furlong handicaps? They're absolutely correct, but they fascinate me, and you know, I love to get the winner. I thought there were two in this race who had a decent chance. Rusty Rocket at the top is a bit of a worry for me, but hasn't won for a while. It's got top weight too. Coincidence comes into racing a lot, Sam. When I was at Carlisle on Monday, I was speaking to a South Lancashire gentleman who has been in racing for a long time, owns a horse called Mappin Time, one of my favourite horses with Tim Easterby. And he suddenly introduced me to his brother, who had a horse running at Carlisle in a syndicate, but he owns a horse called Foxy Music. And Foxy Music is in this race, the 7:30 at Haydock this evening, and he expects Foxy Music to run pretty well. It won first time out, did Eric Orr Alston sprinter, which wasn't expected, oddly enough. But last time I didn't run that particularly well. But it was a fair race, and Foxy Music could go quite well. On red car form, though, he's got to improve a bit. And I'm going to go for the one near the bottom, Go-Go Green. Jim Goldie's horses are in excellent shape at the moment. And he is booked, interestingly enough, very good-looking young lady called Samantha Jo Bell, who hasn't had all the many winners this year, but was a real find for Richard Fahey last year and got lots of winners in the autumn. She rides very well and is well worth her claim. Go-Go Green has been unlucky not to win this season. He's on a very good mark. And he was fifth of seven, I think, at Ayr last time out. But if you read the close-up, and if you were there at Ayr, you would have seen how unlucky he was. It was a decent handicap won by Taurus Twins, who I think was completing a hat-trick. And there were other good horses in the race. And poor old Go-Go Green was held up. And when he tried to go through gaps, they closed in front of him. He had to be switched left, switched right. Not clear run, all that sort of thing, and wasn't beaten all that far. Smallish field at Haydock. I think Go-Go Green's got a very good chance. Jim Goldie's horse is in good shape.
Go-Go Green then, the pick for John in the 7:30 at Haydock, but don't rule out Foxy Music as well. The last race that we're going to come to on the podcast for Friday's racing is the 8:10 from Catterick, 5 furlong one. This class four handicapper, and where are you going with this one, John?
Well, actually, I'm going near the bottom as well, but we might run through this quickly from the top. Keep It Dark is interesting because he is owned by one of the longest-serving owners on the Northern Circuit. He's had horses for a very long time. He's owned by Noel Heatherton. And Noel Heatherton is the father of James Heatherton, who gave up training several years ago. He used to train in the stable now used by David O'Meara. But Noel has been about for a very long time. I wouldn't say exactly what age he is, but he's older than I am. And he has had horses for a very long time, and Keep It Dark was his 99th winner, and then earlier this week at Redcar brought up the century for Noel Heatherton. So he's out again quickly to start rather like A.P. McCoy on the next century of winners. I fear he made it quite last long enough for that. But that's Keep It Dark. A Bronze Bow represents Kersey Studs, who's been running well without winning. That could go reasonably well. Bosun's Breeze, well, seems to have lost the plot a bit, but was pretty useful a couple of seasons ago. But we go down to the bottom, and David O'Meara, I refuse to call him David O'Mara. David O'Meara has Rural Celebration in this race. Danny Tuthope rides very well weighted, and I thought ran a promising second at Beverly last time out. Was always running pretty well and stayed on very strongly to finish second. This is not a great race, and I think Rural Celebration on that Beverly form ought to be there or thereabouts.
Rural Celebration then, the pick in the last race that we're previewing on the podcast. If you could just run us through all your selections again for Friday's racing, please, John.
Yes, in the 2 miler at Newcastle 350, we go for Mr. Snoozy. In the 7:30 at Haydock, the one I like best of all, Go-Go Green for Jim Goldie. And in the final selection, the 8:10 at Catterick, it is Rural Celebration.
Excellent thoughts of John Budden then on Friday's racing. And you can listen to all of Friday's racing with John Budden. He's joined in the studio on Friday by Stuart Beasley and Richie McGrath. And don't forget to look out for Elusive Opponent and Likely when Royal Ascot comes round. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today, John, and good luck with Friday's races.
Thank you very much, Sam. I look forward to it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.